Thank you all for coming to this theater session. I appreciate it. I actually conflict with my director right now, so it's good that you all came here. My name is Isabella Lubin. I'm a program manager in Office 365, and today we're going to be talking about how Microsoft protects you from spoof, phish, malware, and spam emails. This is a theater session for a breakout that we have on Thursday. We're going to go into much more depth on Thursday, so if you can make it, I would come. Today we're going to focus primarily on malware. You're all here because you're concerned about email security, and I wanted to go over some of the numbers to scare you a little bit more. Does anyone have a guess for what percentage of the inbound mail to Office 365 is actually core business email, so stuff that you actually really care about? It is more than one. It's actually 31%, but I will give you a prize afterwards anyway. So Office 365 has 80 billion inbound email messages over the course of a month. And of that, only 31% of those mails were ones that we actually cared about. So we saw 55 billion spam and bulk messages that could have crowded your user's inbox and distracted them from their core business goals. We saw more than 200 million malware and phish emails. Those obviously pose a great threat to your organization. So what we're going to talk about today is the approach that Office 365 has for email filtering, and then deep dive a little bit on our approach for filtering out malware. So Office 365 builds layers upon layers of protection so that we can protect you against a number of different types of campaigns and attacks. The first thing that we do is we reject as much email as possible at the edge. We do this for two reasons. First of all, if we can reject spam email early, it's not crowding your users' junk mail folders. They never have to interact with it, so it leads to a better experience. The other reason is that if we can reject it earlier, we actually pay less for mail processing, so it works out both ways. The next thing that we do is we block large and medium volume campaigns. So these are larger campaigns, broader target, they're not as sophisticated. We can use heuristic clustering a lot more easily because we have more samples and more mail volume. We block smaller spam campaigns. These are more sophisticated targeted attacks. We have a whole suite of products around catching dangerous phish and malware emails. We protect tenant and user outliers. So those are users who are particularly targeted. Or tenants who seem to be receiving more phish or malware than other tenants. And then we have a number of techniques for reacting quickly when there's a campaign that we detect that's gone through. So I'll just show you some of the features that we have in this space. You can see the coloring orange are features that are live now, blue are future, the merge of orange and blue are features that are kind of in development or partially rolled out, and then the one yellow feature is ATP. So in terms of reacting early, we use sender or IP reputation to reject early at the edge. We detect newsletter in bulk very early on. Blocking medium and large volume campaigns. We have content clustering. And then we're constantly improving our clustering mechanisms. For small campaigns, we have global ML models that are relying on content, again, and reputation communication, so combinations of multiple features. The area that we're going to focus on most today is this area of catching dangerous phish and malware emails, and particularly around malware. So there are a number of features right here. You can see our traditional AV engines and clustering, detection of polymorphic malware, sender authentication and spoof detection. Those are all features that are live right now and protecting your users. ATP detonation, SafeLinks is an E5 or standalone feature that you can purchase right now. And then we're always looking at improving our phish and malware detection. In terms of protecting user, tenant and user outliers, we do have models running that are tenant-specific ML models for tenants that we've detected are particularly targeted, and also looking at users who are more targeted than others within an organization. And then finally, we have two primary mechanisms that we talk about as a quick reaction mechanism. So analyst rules when you detect a campaign has gone through. And then finally, this feature called ZAP, which is called zero-hour auto-purge, where if the mailbox is hosted within Office 365 and we've detected after the fact that a message has gone into the inbox, we can move it from the inbox to junk. So the suite of features that we're going to be talking about most today is under malware, so AV engines, polymorphic malware, and then around ATP and detonation. But I encourage you to come to the breakout session on Thursday where we'll talk a little bit more about spoof protection as well as our general spam filtering. So you might be asking, why are we focusing on malware? Malware is a huge concern for everyone. When we talk to customers, it is the biggest pain point that they talk about. And furthermore, malware volumes are on the rise. So you know, this is the view of how much attempted malware we've seen in Office 365 over the past year. We've seen a 600% increase in the volume of malware. So the attacks themselves are growing in volume, but they're also becoming a lot more sophisticated. So these spammers are using techniques to both prevent us from detecting the campaigns themselves, and then the malware itself is becoming more sophisticated, so you can't detect what activity it's taking. So most attacks in emails are Trojans with secondary payloads downloaded later. I think you've all heard a lot about different Trojan attacks that that people have been experiencing. And the campaigns themselves are highly morphed. So this is actually a view of the morphing of a campaign where the detection mechanism you can see trending over time. So this is a view of our malware filtering. And you can see, you know, these are all features that we talked about earlier. We block as much as possible at the edge. We have traditional AV engines for scanning, reputation blocking, heuristic clustering, and then these two premium features, which are ATP safe attachments and ATP safe links, you can purchase for additional protection. And then our traditional anti-spam, phish, and spoof filtering helps us to filter out even more malware, because often the malware itself is being delivered in the forms of a phish email. So our traditional spam filtering will help us there as well. So I'm going to walk you through the pipeline of filtering, and we can talk a little bit about what, you know, what all these different phases do. So in terms of preventing advanced attacks, when we receive a message from the internet, it goes through Office 365 Edge filtering. We know a number of characteristics of the email. If we can detect right at that point that it's bad, the IP is bad, or the sender is bad, we're going to block it right away. Obviously, a lot of times these mails aren't coming from a known bad sender. They're coming from a compromised account or something like that. So we need to have more sophisticated mechanisms than that. We have a number of mechanisms for filtering out malware that is has already been detected by some means. So for example, you know, we have our signature AV scans. So these are filtering out malware messages where an AV engine can tell us right off the bat that it's bad. You can see the pretty animation. We then do reputation block. So reputation block is where we've detected through another means. So this is all the data we have across all of our tenants in Office 365, that an attachment has been already been detected as malicious. So that's an example of a message that has already been detonated and we've already discovered that it's bad. If we see that going to another tenant, we're going to block it right off the bat. The next suite of features are around detecting a malicious message that has not already been identified as bad. So the first thing we do is heuristic clustering. So heuristic clustering is where we identify messages that are similar, and if we see a high volume of suspicious attachments, we're going to detonate one of those attachments. So this is, you know, the view of us seeing a number of messages. We've identified that they're all similar in some way. We're going to make sure that we're actually detonating one of those attachments so we can protect as many customers as possible. And this is something that we're doing for all customers. And we're, the detonation mechanism, we send it to a sandbox environment. We look at what opening that attachment does to the machine and try to see if it's doing anything bad to the machine. For customers who have purchased ATP, ATP will detonate every single attachment that that customer receives. So in this heuristic clustering, we're clustering attachments that we've seen enough of across enough tenants to make sure that it's something that we should detonate. For ATP, we'll detonate every single attachment. And then, you know, we send all of these mails through our traditional anti-spam, phish, and spoof filtering. We can use a number of the mechanisms there to filter out additional malware. So we'll talk a little bit more about some of these features during the breakout session on Thursday, but clustering based off of content, URL reputation, sender reputation, these are all features of mails that we can use for filtering out spam, and in turn making sure that malware messages aren't delivered to the inbox. The additional feature that comes with ATP is safe links. So once the message is passed through anti-spam, phish, and spoof filtering, if there's a URL in that message, we're going to wrap it. And what that means is that when the URL itself is clicked by the end user who received the message, we're going to check to make sure that that URL is still safe. So we're going to check our service for the latest reputation of the URL. You're not just basing it off of the reputation of the URL as we run it through spam filtering, you're doing it on time of click. I'll take questions at the end. And so this is the user clicking on the URL. We'll make a call to the SafeLink server. And then that SafeLink server will check to see we'll only redirect to the target server if the URL has been identified as fine. And then finally, this feature that we talked about earlier, zero-hour auto purge, helps us identify if a message that has been later on identified as malicious, if the mailbox that message was delivered to is hosted by Office 365, we can go back into that inbox and move the message from the inbox to the junk mail folder. That's an action that will only take if the administrator has authorized us to do so. Zero-hour auto purge is controlled by the administrator of the tenant or of the organization, so that we're not making changes to your user's experience without your authorization. So what we've just seen is the anti-malware pipeline, which is really designed to be defense in depth. So we're not just letting the malware go through into your inboxes. In addition to the traditional AV engine mechanisms, we are also providing filtering in terms of reputation, heuristic clustering, and then ATP, which is this kind of very end, most sophisticated mechanism for preventing malware from going through. Sorry. Seems to be frozen. So I wanted to touch base quickly on the future of false positives and false negatives. I know that this is a cause of concern for a lot of our customers, because when you're dealing with trying to filter out attachments, you know, if you filter out a really good one, it can cause a lot of pain. Every malware filtering service does have occasional false positives and false negatives. So we're constantly working on mechanisms to both empower the organization to prevent false positives and false negatives, and also empower the organization to tell us to fix things as quickly as possible. So the first feature is organization allow block. This is empowering the administrators to say which URLs or files they want to make sure are allowed for their organization. It's also an early signal that we in Office 365 can use to tell if there's a false negative or false positive that's impacting customers, so that we can use that signal to block ourselves quicker. The next feature is malware quarantine. So malware quarantine will allow administrators to say, I still want to block everything that Office 365 says is bad, but rather than stripping the attachment, I want to send it to a special quarantine where I can release it from quarantine. So you don't have to wait for Office 365 to fix the false positive, you can go in and address it yourself. And then finally, a feature called Office 365 submissions. This is an easier mechanism for administrators to tell us that we've gotten something wrong faster. And give admins feedback on the status of their submission. So you're not just sending them to a black box, you actually know what we've done with your submissions, and you know that the problems that you're experiencing have been resolved. I want to touch base quickly on ATP versus third-party solutions, and then we'll have some time for questions. So the EOP ATP filtering pipeline offers world-class malware protection. We just looked at all of the features that we have running through Office 365, not just the ones that are just for ATP, but also Office 365, all Office 365 customers. What we're looking at here is actually the view of what Office 365 caught after third-party filtering. So these were customers who were actually using a major third party in front of us, and then this is all malware that we caught after that third party filtered out the malware that they could catch. ATP is built into EOP. It takes a second to set up. ATP will protect more than just email, and what we're going to look at is actually the plan for expanding advanced threat protection. So ATP right now is being used in Exchange, but will be shortly built into SharePoint, Yammer, and Skype for Business. We're also working on extending that protection through all of the Office clients, so including PowerPoint, Excel, and Word, and then integrating natively with Outlook clients. So you can see that, not just protecting your users through mail filtering, but also protecting your users in other parts of the Office suite. Okay, questions?
Using Microsoft as a service tool, that mean that kind of rather administrator raised that scoring, it just not as easy to file, but do we need ATP to do that?
So the question. So the question was essentially, what can the administrator of an organization do to customize spam, phish, and malware filtering based off of the verdict that was set by Office 365? I don't know if you've all seen the spam filter policy. Spam filter policy is where you define what action you want to take with mails that have different SCLs or spam confidence levels. And that will let you configure, you can either junk a message, quarantine a message, or send it or delete it. So you can't block at the edge. SCL is actually only stamped on messages that have been accepted. And once we've accepted that message, the only reason we would reject is if you have a transport, if you've configured a transport rule to say reject messages of this type, which actually happens before spam filtering. But you can take the delete action. So you can configure a spam filter policy that says, if the SCL of a message is 9, I want to delete it, which is similar to what you asked. Honestly, that's an aggressive setting. So that's the kind of setting that we would generally recommend you have for, you know, a very serious case where someone is getting a lot of spam and their junk mail folder is getting exploded. But it's not. It has nothing to do with ATP. ATP is a separate. Yeah. Yes. Zero-hour auto purge. That was. No, so zero-hour auto purge, we do automatically. So when we've detected that a campaign, so the only thing that you need to do is you need to say, yes, I want to turn on zero-hour auto purge, and then if you've enabled that setting within your spam filter policy, then we'll go and move that message from inbox to junk. And then we'll take that action. Yeah. So you can delete messages. I think there's been feedback from customers before that you want a better way of doing clustering around campaigns and saying, I want to take every message that matches this campaign type and go back and remove it. And that is essentially called search and destroy, right? You want to say, hey, here's a large campaign. That, I believe, is going to be part of the Threat Explorer, but I can get back to you on that. That would be... Exactly, because you know the commandlet call is we're going to be calling just to the hosted mailboxes. Macros are part of the type of they're all attachments that we scan. So detecting that is all part of that malware suite. ATP will help prevent certain malicious macro enabled documents. The base service is filtering is doing filtering of macros, right? But you do, I mean, ATP is additional detection. The other thing is that as an administrator, you can block certain types of attachments. So if there are certain attachment types that you really don't think should be going through your service at all, you can configure that and say, hey, I don't want to see attachments of this type at all. I cannot answer that right now because that's a forward-looking feature, but Jason Rogers, who will be co-presenting the breakout session with me on Thursday, is our resident ATP expert, so you can ask him all of those questions. I can't comment on that. So Right now, submitting, just going through the regular submission process, I can send people the TechNet article on how to report false negatives to Office 365. If we get a user's false negative submission and it has an attachment, we are going to... Okay. Right now, honestly, the answer is going through the regular submission process. We do clustering on submissions and automatically update our ML service or our ML models with those submissions. If you have a very serious outbreak in your organization that such that the regular submission process isn't working, you should call support because I want to know about that. Any other questions? Yes. How do you manage, the question was, how do you manage gray mail and marketing email? So that is actually a setting that the administrator can configure. We mark bulk messages with a bulk complaint level, BCL, from 1 through 9. And so the administrator can set on the spam filter policy what level of bulk mail you want to send to junk mail folder and what level you want to have delivered to the inbox. And so for every spam filter policy, you can set a slider to say, if a bulk has a BCL of 789 is our default. So by default, we say if the BCL is 7, the likelihood that users actually want to receive that in their inbox is very low. And those messages would go to junk, and then other bulk mails would go to the inbox. It's based off of, so it's a combination of, we do have a third-party vendor that we use, and we have our own in-house bulk identification mechanism. It's based off of complaints. So if a lot of users are complaining about a message, then the likelihood that other users are going to want to receive those messages is lower. Append the subject. Are you asking if you can do that? I will have to follow up with you on that. I believe that we set the bulk confidence level before transport rules execute. So I believe that you could configure a transport rule that would say if the bulk confidence level is, you know, 1 through 9, then stamp bulk on it. But I can follow up with you on that. Yeah. Any other questions? Yes. We do URL filtering, yeah. Oh, you're talking about URL detonation? We have a combination of URL filtering mechanisms, URL lexical structure, so you know, differentiating between the structure of a good URL and a bad URL, or you know, a spammy URL. Also URL lists, so a list of URLs that we've known have been included in spam mail. So yeah. Yes. So the question is ATP the only way we can get phishing protection? The answer is no. There is built-in phishing protection in Office 365. ATP is meant to detect, you know, unknown, but we build a lot of features into Office 365 itself for phish protection. We're going to go through some of those features during the breakout session. but for example, we have a feature that anti-spoofing, which is essentially the scenario that you just talked about. Someone sends an email pretending to be my CFO to my CEO and says, hey, you know, can you authorize this wire transfer? We have anti-spoofing protection built into Office 365 to detect that and make sure that email doesn't go through. Yeah. Yes. Can you repeat the question?
So for social,
social engineering?
Yes.
Okay. So you're essentially saying the scenario is someone gets compromised and then an email is sent from that compromised user's mailbox. If traditional spam, phish, malware filtering will detect it, and often it will, because often there's something suspicious about the email itself, there's something suspicious about the URL, that's the main tool that's built in. Yes. Yeah, that's a good question. So we are building tools to let you, and actually I believe the commandlet itself already exists. There's just not a UX component of it yet, to say I want someone to be able to spoof on my behalf. But really the best thing to do is to make sure that your authentication is set up so that your SPF, you know, your SPF record or the SPF record of whoever is sending, your SPF record says this person's IPs are authorized to send on my behalf. Our kind of best guess authentication to detect when there's an anomaly, and that may be where more false positive, you know, that may be where your particular scenario has. Right. So right now, and I will check this, but I believe there's a commandlet that you can use to say, I want to authorize this particular spoofing scenario. I can't remember what the parameters are, what information you can provide, but I'll double check on that for you. Yeah. Anything else? So DMARC itself can be configured with a number of different settings. You can put it essentially in monitor mode and say, you know, I just want to know what's going on. You can also say, essentially, if DMARC is fail, quarantine. So if DMARC is fail, quarantine, we would send any message that fails DMARC for the inbound scenario to junk. Yeah.
So our email is being spoofed. It's getting sent to the recipients. The recipients are rejecting it, and it's coming back to us as undelivered. And that's bypassing the O365 filtering. We've opened up Premier cases, and they can't resolve it.
Talk to me afterwards. There is a setting that you can configure. The question was, are emails being spoofed? We're getting backscatter emails for those messages. What can we do? There is a setting that you can configure, which is called the backscatter NDR advanced spam filtering setting, that essentially says, if your outbound mail goes through Office 365 and we receive a backscatter email for a message that did not go through Office 365, we know you didn't send it, we'll make sure it goes to junk. Talk to me. Okay, then you should then. Okay. Anything else? Okay, see you all later.